Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Volume Knob, the songs that saved your life. This week, Brian and In Your Eyes. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast that is at least a couple of people's favorite mashup of personal stories and popular music. It is The Volume Knob, and I am catching up to you at what I at least hope will be the halfway mark of a crazy time for me. 2022 has been very demanding, both professionally and personally within our family. To be completely honest with you, it's been a really tiring winter. I'm beat. And so I want to send thanks to all of you who are here every episode, despite the fact that I've gone from every week to every 2 weeks. Knowing you're out there means a lot to me. So thank you. I also want to spend 2 seconds sending special thanks to those of you who've sent a message letting me know how much a storyteller's story has meant to you. It means a lot to me to hear from you, and I do reply to every email. So if you're one of those people, if you hear a story or if you hear this week's story, then it means a lot. I'd love to hear from you at volumeknobpod@gmail.com. One of the other things I'm really grateful for is how this project gives me the opportunity to work with talented folks like this week's guest.
Hi, I'm Brian Berlin, and I'm a storyteller and a comedian and a teacher, and the song that saved my life is In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel.
So if you're of a certain age, let's call it, you can't hear Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes without thinking of an iconic scene in a movie in Cameron Crowe's 1989 film, Say Anything. And I'm sure you know it. If that means anything to you, you can picture a baby-faced John Cusack as Lloyd Dobler standing in front of his car, wearing a Clash t-shirt, holding a boombox up over his head as the music drifts into Diane's bedroom. Brian's story has its own moment of sort of Peter Gabriel meets Lloyd Dobler, the idea that music can float out into the distance and make people think or change. But it's not the only movie that his story made me think of. There's also just a dash of Superbad in there too. I hope you enjoy it just as much as I did. Here's Brian.
This story begins the beginning of my sophomore year of college. At the time, I was dating somebody, and we were dating, like, I guess, semi-long distance. Like, I was 2 hours from her college. But we had, like, very different personalities that at the time, I was just, like, not thinking. I was like, oh, it's love. It conquers everything. And not thinking about, like, oh, there's problems that happen when your personalities can be, like, very different.
Brian and his girlfriend, her name was Jen, expressed the differences in their personalities through the way they spent their time.
When she would come visit me, I was going to school in Boston. You know, we'd kind of just like hang around the city. We'd go to the movies. We'd walk around, maybe go to like a museum. And when I would visit her, we'd almost always go to like a house party. There would be like some party. She went to UMass Amherst. So that was also kind of just an element, I guess, of going to UMass Amherst. There's not a lot going on there. She knew that like I was not a party person and didn't want to go to parties. And there was kind of this like rift forming between us of kind of like, I want to go to a party. You don't want to go to a party. If we go to a party, I'm going to have to take care of you, which I don't really want to do. And by take care, I just kind of mean like, you know, I wasn't that good at being around a lot of people. Like a lot of people would sort of stress me out. Just, it was not a great like fit for me in these scenarios.
Disconnect between Jen's desire to go to parties and Brian's anxiety about them came to a head at one particular party in Brian's sophomore year.
and there was like a band playing in the basement of this party. It's really packed. It's a point where like I'm getting a little stressed out with the number of people around, and I really don't know anybody. It's like my girlfriend is standing next to me at this band in the basement, and there's a friend of hers I'm not that close with, but the three of us are there watching this band in the basement, and she's like, oh, I'm gonna go smoke a cigarette outside. And she could tell that, like, I don't want her to leave, like, oh, I'm gonna be, like, left alone here if you go outside. Like, what am I supposed to do? And she gestures to, like, her friend Brandon next to me, and he's like, oh, well, Brandon will watch you. Brandon will watch you. And I look over at Brandon, and Brandon at this point is, like, pretty drunk, and he's just smashing, like, a plastic vodka bottle on the rafters of the basement, like, to the beat of the band playing music. And that's, like, okay, this is the guy who's gonna take care of me. And so I'm there, and I'm like, I'm trying to enjoy this music and not be stressed and anxious, but I am, because that's who I am. And suddenly there's somebody like opens the door of the basement and just yells down, the cops are here. I look and Brandon's gone. He's run off. And so I'm just like left in this basement, and everyone's like scattering around me, and I don't want to leave without my girl. I want to make sure she's okay too. And I have never been at a party where the cops have shown up. So I'm thinking, like, I'm now going to have to go to, like, the local jail or whatever, because I'm at a party. I was not drinking, but I was at a party with alcohol, and I was under 21. So that's it for me. And I freeze. I, like, can't bring myself to the door. I just start shaking, and I'm freezing up in... It's the first ever time I've had this moment since then, and I know now that this is a panic attack, but at the time, this was the first time I ever had a panic attack. I eventually make my way out the basement door outside, and she is just like casually smoking a cigarette with her friends as if nothing is happening. And I'm like, the cops are here. We gotta go. And she's like, okay, let me just finish my cigarette. And I'm like, please, like, we gotta go. And like, she's upset with me that I've like made her stop smoking her cigarettes or whatever. A few weeks later, we break up, and it's not like specifically because of this moment, but like this moment was sort of the encapsulation of kind of the divide between us as people. And so now it's the beginning of my sophomore year, and I am just like alone. And the only thing that makes it like a little bit better is that my friend Spencer, who I've had since first grade, he is going through the exact same experience. He kind of had his first girlfriend. They broke up right around the time that we broke up. And so we're both just these two, like, lonely, sad guys at this point in time.
Spencer went to the University of New Hampshire in Durham, a short train ride from Boston where Brian was. So essentially, Brian traded an old travel routine for a new one.
What kind of started happening was, like, he became my, like, replacement girlfriend in a way where, like, instead of going to UMass on the weekends, I started going to UNH on the weekends, or he would come down to Boston. And so we're both in these like breakup sad scenarios, but we're also both in these like kind of disaster living situations. I'm at the time, like, I'm living with four girls in a 3-bedroom apartment, but my bedroom was the one that like opened up into the living room. And very often they had tons of people over on like Tuesday, Wednesday nights, where I just wanted to like have an apartment to myself that I could like live in and feel comfortable in and just go to bed at a reasonable hour because I had class the next day. And they did not want to do that. They wanted to have people over and have it like the hangout place. Again, I had a lot of like social anxiety, and I still do, but at the time it was like very high. And there was times when like there was so many people in my apartment, and like every time I opened up my bedroom door to go out, there was like, I was in the living room. So I was like immediately thrown into a conversation. So it was definitely like not an uncommon thing for me. I started like keeping Gatorade bottles in my room because there's times when like I would just pee in a Gatorade bottle to avoid having to go out and like deal with these people that I just was not comfortable being around.
Spencer's living situation was also less than ideal, and it also involved precarious urination.
He he found this place that, like, whoever the person that was showing them, he was like, we have a room for you. And he shows him to an apartment, like, through a door that says not an exit. And he, like, has to open this door up. And then he opens up this other door, and there's just a room with 50 microwaves in it from, like, floor to ceiling. And it's like a janitor's closet. And he's like, yeah, so this, we could clear this out, but you could live here. And, you know, so Spencer moves into this janitor's closet, and it's like literally has a slop sink in it. And for him, like, the bathroom is like literally on the entire side of this, like, huge apartment complex. So it was not uncommon for him at night to just, like, pee in the slop sink. So we were both just like these sad guys peeing in our bedrooms.
That fall and winter looked pretty much the way you'd expect from two very sad college boys. Mark and Spencer sat around every Saturday rewatching episodes of Lost and Dexter and eating pizza and talking about the future in that vague way that college sophomores do. By the time March rolled around, they'd agreed it was about time for a change.
We both were kind of like, I think this is getting, like, a little too sad. Like, even for us who are embracing the sad, like, it feels too sad.
The two of them decided they were going to throw a party. Not a large one, mind you. They'd get together at Brian's place in Boston in the living room with six or eight friends. It was a small step, but they decided to go all out.
We kind of made, like, invitations that we sent out to our friends, and we wanted to kind of be like in a childhood when you go to, like, a kid's party, you get, like, a goodie bag at the end of the party. We wanted to do a goodie bag, but in our mind, the goodie bag would be a mix CD. And the mix CD, it was sort of like our way of announcing to the world that we are ready to get back out there. And it was, again, like, a little bit in jest, but we kind of were hoping that maybe there was some realness to us making fun of ourselves and our situations. And we called the CD Sweet Nothings, Brian and Spencer's Intimate Songs for Intimate Times. And the goal was to create, like, this epitome of kind of like romance songs in a CD that, you know, if you listen to, it's going to bring love in your life.
The track list for Sweet Nothings, Brian and Spencer's Intimate Songs for Intimate Times, was a little on the nose. Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel, Fields of Gold by Sting, Kiss from a Rose by Seal. The kickoff track, though, was In Your Eyes. All my instincts, they return. The grand facade so soon will burn. The funny thing was, the somewhat ironic goal of Sweet Nothings, Brian and Spencer's Intimate Songs for Intimate Times, started to occur. When the CD started rolling out into the world, it spread a little bit of romance.
So a friend of mine kind of been flirting with a girl, and they had been, like, talking a little bit, and, like, oh, we might go on a date, we might not go on a date. They finally, like, go out to this, like, maybe date, and they both, I think she comes back to his place after, and they're just kind of hanging out, and he was like, oh, I'll put on some music, and puts on the CD, and they, like, make out, and they start dating. In Spencer and I's mind, this was like, oh, this is proof that this CD has some, like, magic to it.
Victory, right? But Spencer wanted to push the envelope a little further. One weekend later that spring, Brian was up visiting in New Hampshire. They were hanging out, and Spencer had a crazy idea.
He was like, oh, I have a friend who is going to a party at, like, the hockey house off campus. And I just hear, like, party and hockey house, and I'm like, this doesn't feel like my vibe. One of the reliefs when Jen and I broke up was like, oh, I don't have to go to house parties anymore. And now Spencer is saying, like, hey, let's go to a house party. And so, like, he sees this kind of anxiety on my face when he mentions, like, house party. And he's like, you know what? It's, like, truly no pressure. We can go. If it's not the right scene, we'll get out of there. Like, I don't need to drink. Like, you don't got to drink if you want to. He even, like, we made a point of, like, we stopped at the grocery store and we found these, like, big glass bottles of lemonade. And we got, like, paper bags to put them in, like, brown paper bags. And just, like, as if we were, like, just drinking some alcohol so nobody would really bug us at the party to be like, what are you drinking? He was very good at being like, I'm going to make sure we're, like, you feel good and that we feel good. I could tell he was taking care of me in this situation. And we show up at the party and open the door. And there are so many people in this house that I can't, like, see empty space. Like, it is just this wave of people. And my eyes get really wide, and I start to feel that, like, shaking feeling in my body. And Spencer notices, like, so quickly notices, and he's like, hey, you know what? Let's, like, just hang out here. There's no reason. We gotta go inside. He's like, you know what? I have my truck. I'll just pull my truck, like, right up by the house. We'll just put on some music out here and we'll just hang out. And there's maybe, I don't know, 5 people outside kind of smoking cigarettes, like, out there. But the party is definitely in the house at this point. So we pull up on the driveway. We're right outside kind of that main door where people are going into the house. And Spencer puts on what's in our CD player of the truck, which is Sweet Nothings, Brian and Spencer's intimate songs for intimate times. And the first song, In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel, comes on. And it kind of, like, puts me in a much safer place because it feels like it's more of our party than this other party that's going on. And we literally, like, put the CD on, turn off the car, and walk outside. And as we walk outside, these 2 girls run up to us, and they're like, oh my god, we love this song. And him and I are looking at each other like, what? And he, like, just smart, he's like, oh, just wait, ladies, like, it only gets better from here.
And it did get better. One of those 2 girls, Laura, was someone that Spencer had his eye on in chemistry class. And the other girl, her name was Bailey, she and Brian were starting to hit it off.
She's really interesting, like, really cute. And I feel like I'm, like, just having a nice time talking to somebody right now. You know, the other thing that's happening at this point in time is, like, more people are showing up to the party and they're kind of having this moment of, like, opening the door, seeing that, like, it is packed in there. And then they're like, oh, there's music out here. People are now starting to kind of, like, congregate outside because, like, there's a reason to be out here. And very slowly, like, over maybe, like, the course of an hour, it goes from, like, 10 people outside to, like, 25 people outside to 50 people outside. And it feels like now, like, every single person who's showing up is just establishing themselves outside. And then, like, every person inside is, like, hitting the point where they want to get a breather, come outside for a second. And then they're like, yeah, this is great. Let's just be outside. And at one point, I, like, look around and there is at least 100 people outside. And people are dancing in the bed of Spencer's truck to, like, these romance, you know, they're just dancing to Kiss from a Rose by Seal. It's a very strange scene, and we are at the center of it. And as that's happening, these 2 girls keep talking to us, and we kind of keep sharing looks of, like, I don't know if this is real right now. And then the cops show up. And I have that initial, like, feeling again in my heart, and I'm like, oh, this is not good. But Spencer, again, like, he's like, immediately goes up to the cops and he's like, hey, officers, this is my car. I haven't been drinking. I'll get it out of here. They could care less. I'm starting to learn about the fact that, like, what cops do when they break up parties. I'm getting a better sense of this at this point because they just want people to go home. So they're just like, yep, fine, just get out of here. Bailey and Laura, they jump into the bed of Spencer's truck as we like didn't invite them. They're on board though. We're like, okay, I'm kind of riding this high at this moment. We're like, the cops didn't care about us. We're the life of the party. And in that moment, like the CD ends. And so I start it again. I put on In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel and I roll down the window. Spencer's old truck had that like crank window turn. So I'm like cranking down the window and there's just this like mass of people walking back to campus. And I stick my head out the window, turn up the music and just yell, "Keep the party going." And there is this like wave of cheers, like as we drive by everybody. And it just feels like something I've truly to this point, like this is now I'm 15 years later after this has happened. And I've never felt this kind of like pride being this like center of attention as I did in that moment. You know, Spencer and I drive back to campus. We ask where the girls' like dorm is and we drop them off. And we're kind of like just lolling around in the parking lot, kind of trying to figure out like, well, what happens now? Like, we don't really know what the next steps are in all of this. And Bailey kind of pulls me aside and she's like, "Hey, like, I'm going to go hang back at my dorm room for a bit. And Laura's going to come, like, if you want to join us." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, like that sounds fun." And then I kind of like, I'm trying to figure out what she's saying. And I'm like, "Well, what about Spencer?" And she's like, "Oh, well, like Laura has a boyfriend. So I don't know like if that would be cool, but like I'd love it if you came back with me." And so now it's like kind of clear what she's asking. Like I get the sense of like what she wants and what this means and like, I truly have not like thought about girls at all since like I had this breakup. But I also know that like I can't leave Spencer in this situation.
I wonder if you've seen Superbad.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite Superbad. Instead of heading off with the girls, you head back with the boys.
Well, it's like that scene, right? It's that morning after the party scene in Superbad, right? Where they're both in the sleeping bags together. And they're like doing the little like the boop. I think Jonah Hill is booping like Michael Cera's nose. Like,
why don't we say that every day? Why can't we say it more often?
"I just love you. I just want to go to the rooftops and scream. I love my best friend Evan.
We should go up on my roof.
For sure. Boop, boop, boop. Come here. Come here, man."
We didn't actually get the girls at the end, but we had each other. And so I tell Bailey, like, "Hey, no, like, that sounds fun, but I'm just going to head back with Spencer." And, you know, we drive back to this basement apartment and we put on Dexter, watch the next episode. And so it's just, it kind of ends like how every night that we've had up until this point has ended. But the journey to that ending was just like so much different than anything I had ever experienced up to that point before.
Hey friend, thanks for listening. The Volume Knob is a weekly exploration of music and the way it makes us feel. It's produced by Semlevin Audio and it's hosted, edited, mixed, written, and sound designed by me, the podcast producer who has never met a house party he didn't like. My name is Keith Siri. Many thanks to the talented Brian Berlin for his invaluable contribution this week. Be sure to get over to the Volume Knob website, that is www.volumeknob.net, to read show notes with links to all sorts of other information about Brian. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to the Volume Knob mailing list to receive our newsletter. Finally, my thanks to my son Miles for his 30-second review of In Your Eyes, which hit me right in the middle-aged feels. So, tell me what you think.
This may not make any sense at all, but what I think is it sounds like a song that would play on the list of 20 songs that they would play in a brand of local grocery stores. Like, not like a big grocery store brand and like not a family-owned store, but like something that a name that you could recognize if you lived in like one town or like the small towns around said town. But aside from people, if you were to name that brand, they would go, "What? Huh?" So, this sounds like something that they would play over the sound speakers of this grocery store.
Oh, okay. So it's not the jingle for a regional grocery store.
It's not the jingle. It's something that they'd play.
It's the Muzak.
Mm-hmm.
You've just described the fact that grocery stores are now aimed at the nostalgia of people your dad's age.
Yeah. I mean, so are medicine commercials.
Thanks again for listening. I'll see you in 2 weeks with another story about the songs that saved your life.